Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runner, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series, toughmantri.com. By VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shop. By Polar, chase your destiny. By Premium Plus Sports, that's premiumplus-sports.com, the best travel agency out there. By USA-swimrun.com. If you haven't tried a swim run event, grab a buddy and give a swim run a try. By our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we're now celebrating 25 years, 23,000 grants, and $100 million raised to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here. Our next guest, one of the true legends of the sport of triathlon, four times in the top 10 in Kona, third place in Kona at the World Championships 2015, 2012 Ironman 70.3 U.S. Pro Champion, 2011 Ironman U.S. Pro Champion, two-time top American at Kona, 7:55.56 Ironman PR. We can go on and on and on with his 50-plus podiums, 22 wins. Mr. Timothy O'Donnell joins us from beautiful Kansas, where he's remaking Dorothy and all the little guys. What you doing out there, T.O.?
Hey,
you having fun in Kansas?
We're going to put Lawrence on the map, baby.
The new space. We're talking Tucson. We're talking Bend. We're talking San Diego. We're talking Boulder. Now we are talking
Lawrence,
Kansas. So what led to going to Lawrence, Kansas for a training? Because everybody's going, we got to go to altitude. You live at altitude.
Yeah, you know, we've done the altitude pre-Kona years now. And we just really wanted to get down to sea level and try to get some, a little bit more of that top end and have a little more recovery too. So, Gwen Jurgensen's husband, Pat, recommended we come down here. He used to ride a lot out here. And it made sense, only 8-hour drive or so from Boulder, and humidity's, pretty high. It's really windy, out here, Bob. It's got a lot of great elements. Not too hot, not too stressful. That's something Rennie wanted to kind of avoid. It's been a nice little getaway for us.
So talk a little bit about you're working with Julie Dibbins now?
Yep. Just started working with her in January.
And what now, Mark Allen, you were with Mark Allen for a number of years. And I know that Mark is so good at the mental side. But, at the same time, having a group to train with, was that sort of lead to working with Julie?
That was really it, Bob. Mark was great for me, and we're still very close. I definitely still consider him in my corner.
Right.
When I hit the start line in October, but I talked to him and I just kind of told him I needed some more, kind of in person,
hands on
motivation. Right. Yeah. So with Julie and the group in Boulder, it's been unbelievable. Everybody's got a great attitude, and Julie is put so much time and energy into her athletes. It's really remarkable. So I've enjoyed getting to work with her, and we've been friends. We both moved to Boulder in 2009. So, we've been friends for almost a decade, and she was, one of Rennie's bridesmaids. So, she's definitely, a close, a friend and now coach. So she knows me really well, and it was a super easy transition.
What's been the best part of it? I mean, obviously the camaraderie is great, but in terms of your game, how has that changed?
I think for me, working with Mark was, it's kind of the pendulum swinging coming off my old program before Mark and just kind of being tired and maybe, kind of on the borderline and getting a little burnout. I needed that more aerobic base kind of training philosophy that Mark does, and I really think that helped my body kind of come back over the last couple of years. But at this point, it was, the clock's ticking. I'm not getting any younger, Bob. So
right.
It was time to bring in a little different stimulus. And with Julia, it's we had a great talk. And my training now has been more focused on quality versus quantity. A lot of short kind of harder efforts.
Right.
And a lot of big gear stuff. Very structured. which has been great for me. And, you know, I remember Mark telling me in 95 he considered that his best race in Kona just because he finally learned that he didn't need to do all the training that he had been doing from the, you know, right. years and years prior, just because he had so much. He's an older athlete. His, you know, his body needs different things. So, you know, we've taken some of that kind of into consideration too. And, you know, everything I do has purpose and, you know, really hitting all that. And then the kind of fluff stuff, we're kind of, you know, maybe toning that back a little bit.
What's fascinating is Mark's last win, he was 37 and you're 37.
Yeah.
And yeah, and you do have to change the game as you age. I remember Rod Dixon, one of the great runners, saying, you know, as he could do the same workouts he did when he's in his 20s. He just needed to take time off in between. You just can't bury him back to back to back like you did when you were in your 20s,
Absolutely.
Early 30s.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Everything has a cost. You know, when you get older, that cost increases. And you know, that's part of the reason we came down here too. It's more evident now that we're at sea level for a couple of weeks, but it's so much harder to back up your sessions at altitude. So you really have to be smart about how you train up there. So, you know, I've loved, you know, being down here the last couple of weeks and being able to kind of wake up and, you know, hit another session pretty solid and keep on doing that kind of, not day in, day out, but, you know, with a little more consistency than you can do at altitude.
So besides dealing with the fact that you're 37 now, turned 38 October, you're also a dad. You're also a husband to three-time Ironman World Champion Marinda Carfrae, who, you know, you're both balancing that you're pros. In fact, in the film We Are Triathletes, Rinny has one of the best lines in there. It says it's great that the T.O. and I are, we understand each other. We understand what the other person needs as a professional athlete, but each of us needs a wife. And neither of us has one. That was like the best line. It's true, right? You guys are, when you're done at the end of the day, you basically want to lay on a couch and have somebody get you stuff, which Gwen is lucky enough to have Pat to do that. A lot
right.
of other pros
yeah.
are. But you guys that don't have that. Plus, you have Izzy. How have you balanced all this?
It's, it's definitely hard, Bob. And, you know, we have our YouTube channel, Tim and Rennie Show. And
yes.
Talbot Cox, our the producer. He also does Gwen's show and Lionel's show. And Rennie and I always look at each other. We watch their shows. And Aaron's, you know, got a nice meal waiting for Lionel after every session. And Pat's got a nice meal waiting for Gwen after every session. And we come home and look at each other like, what are we going to do?
Exactly. Who are we going to call? Who's going to come make something for us?
Yeah, so, but, you know, honestly, I don't think we'd have it any other way. You know, it's just... We've grown together and kind of, you know, can work around it. And, you know, for having Izzy with us now, it just kind of puts all that, you know, everything else in perspective. We've done a lot in the sport, especially Rennie.
Yeah.
you know, we can really enjoy what we're doing and, you know, we're still, you know, so excited that we get to do triathlon, you know, we get to race professionally. And when you have a kid, you know, you kind of realize that it's a privilege to be able to do what you want for work. So, you know, we just keep that in mind and just roll with the punches and try to not, you know, get too bogged down on getting stressed about some of that other stuff that maybe does or doesn't get done around the house.
So when you go 7:55 like you did at Ironman Brazil a few years ago and you know, when you think about the best races you ever had, and sometimes best race isn't necessarily defined by the number. It's something that meant more to you. Maybe it was the first race that where you felt, okay, I can race with the best in the world. Do you look at that Ironman Brazil as your best race ever? Do you look at the podium at Kona as your best race ever? What do you look at?
Yeah, I think probably that Kona in 15.
Yeah,
I'd say is up there. Just because it was, I took some chances and I raced in a different style than I normally race. You know, that was.
You went off the front.
Yeah, I went off the front of the bike. I rode like, I think, over 10 minutes faster than I'd ridden any of the like, previous 3 years that I'd done the race. So it was kind of like that next level jump for me.
Yeah.
And then I ran. It was an ugly run, but it was one that was run from my heart. You know, it was just more of me wanting to make that podium happen. So I'm pretty proud about kind of that, not only transitioning the way I race in Kona, but kind of staying tough and staying hungry out there.
So it's funny because we haven't had an American. It's when you look at from when the race started back in 1978, every male winner was an American until Greg Welch 1994. We had a nice streak going, and then since Tim DeBoom in 2001 2002, we haven't had an American win that race. And obviously, like you said, the clock is ticking, and you want that to be you. What would it mean to you to be the first American to win this since Tim DeBoom? And to basically, that would be a great capper to your career.
Yeah, yeah. that would be definitely a nice feather in the cap. the years that I've really gone into Kona and be like, I'm just going to win this thing, have been probably my worst years there.
Yeah.
So for me, it's more about just focusing on the process that can put me in contention to win. And that's really where my mind is at this year. I guess I don't even want to get too excited about it because I want my focus to be on how I do it, not, doing it. Because
right.
You can't do it unless you know how to do it. So, that's kind of where my energy is right now.
So one of your new sponsors, Halo, which I don't know a heck of a lot about. Talk a little bit about that and how that's been part of your new quiver of assets.
Yeah, I've been with Halo, working with Halo for well over a year and a half now. They've been a really, really fun partner to bring on. And at this level in the game, it's all marginal gains, right? You have to kind of keep on trying to figure out how do I become a better athlete. How do I train more efficiently, and how does that lead to better race performance? And with Halo, Halo Sport, if people aren't familiar, it's a headset, headphones
yeah.
that have neuro priming in them. So they basically stimulate your brain waves to help you really learn and learn muscle memory and mm-hmm. become more efficient. So. I do a lot of my indoor training, which is becoming more and more these days, especially with road safety out there.
Right. Yeah.
I do a lot of that with my Halo Sport on, and it's a 20-minute program you run, and then you just nail out your session. And I mean, I've seen great results. I feel definitely more efficient, and it's not only becoming or dropping more power on the bike or a faster pace. It's how little energy can you use to hit those paces? And that's what Ironman's about, right? It's about efficiency. It's
right.
about, being able to run fast after, 6 hours of swimming and biking. And, I'm really excited. I've paired it with another new partner of ours, Technogym, which has the Curve treadmill.
Yeah.
So I've really had great results in terms of working on my form and working on my extension out the back. If you've seen Rennie run, that's how you want to run.
Oh, yes.
Have that kind of
exactly.
nice little arch in your back, that curve.
Yes.
With that push out the back. And with the Curve treadmill and the neuro priming from Halo Sport, it's really helped me work on my form. I've seen it. I mean, I just did my big race simulation yesterday, a 100-mile ride and do a 13.5-mile run. And, I was running better than I have. Ever off a session like that, and just feeling good, heart rate low. So just trying to be smart and work on my efficiency, Bob.
Well, what's fascinating about all this is back in the early, early days, this guy, Tom Warren, who won in 79, I remember going to his house and he had a bike set up in a sauna in his house. And, back then you're going, what an eccentric, crazy guy. And now it's basically every pro has a heat room or they've got the bike indoors. And like you mentioned, the safety aspect is important, but also the efficiency side is it seems like the idea of indoor training with your with the treadmill, with you can quantify exactly what your workout was compared to being outside. And obviously you need the elements, because on race day, right, you have the elements. But have you found yourself doing more and more indoor work?
Definitely. I like most of my quality sessions on the bike, or as many as Julie will let me do on the trainer.
Yeah.
And like you said, you can really, it's almost like you're in a lab, right? You can just really be smart about your workout, and you can really hit it precisely. And obviously the long rides and things like that, yeah, you want to get outside, you want to be used to terrain and cadence, and how do you change your cadence over hills, and, you know, and on the backside of hills and things like that. But when it comes down to just getting work done and safely doing work, when you're not worried about, you know, hidden intersections or trying to, you know, roll through a yellow light and things like that to stay on your interval, I think indoor training really helps in that regard.
So in Kansas, who are you training with?
Oh, we got a great group here. So obviously Rennie's with us, and Matt Hansen and Lauren Brandon.
Ah.
Some fellow JD crew athletes are here, and Julie's here as well. So for me, I have Lauren to kick my butt in the pool.
I was going to say, right?
You got my butt on the run.
Yes, that's cool. So you got some people to push you. Lauren last year was a huge part of that race, just with what her and Lucy did off the front, sort of forcing Daniela to go hard. Have you seen, I'm guessing that Rennie's doing that a lot of good time trial work in the wind in Kansas has to be good for her on the bike.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, she's actually out there right now. She's doing that kind of similar bike run that I did yesterday today.
Yeah.
And it's great. Great cone of simulation out there with the wind. And she's so small, you know.
You've tried to draft behind her before. That's sort of a waste of time.
Oh, yeah. It's like you're still in the front. Yeah. Yeah. Julie was riding us the other day, and she was behind her, and she's like, this isn't even fun. Like,
well, what's great about it is Julie just came off of a great Leadville, so she's obviously still in shape.
Oh, yeah. We're trying to get her to do Maui again.
She should.
She's been starting to run again, and I don't think Flora's racing this year. We're like, it's open, Julie. You can get another world title.
Oh, my God, that would be so cool. So when people think of Kona, everybody talks heat and wind, and really the big difference is just the level of competition. There's no other race you go to where there's 50
absolutely.
Guys, and there's seriously 30 who are pretty sure they're going to get in the top 10. Right. So talk a little bit about how that race is so different racing wise, because most of the other races, you sort of put your head down and go. But that race, you can't be in the wrong position. Someone makes a move and you're next thing you know, you're off the back, or like you did in 15. You see an opportunity and you seize it and you go off the front. How is that race different than every other race you do?
It's, you know, I raced Ironman Kansas this year, and that was, I'd say, probably the most competitive Ironman field this year outside of Kona.
Yeah.
And it's not even close to the same thing. Kona is just such a different level. And I think the really special thing is that it's, you know, it's, at least for the men's race right now in these last couple of years, it's been so different every year. You know, there's no, you cannot have a plan that you know is going to work. And you have to be, you know, mentally prepared for anything. Obviously everybody, you know, does a good job of becoming physically prepared for the race. But, you know, last year, look at the way Cam Wirth and Lionel and Sebi stormed through on the bike.
Right.
I mean, that ruined a lot of guys' races.
Yes.
You know?
Took people out of their comfort zone pretty quick when Lionel's right. pushing 330 watts heading up to Javi.
Yeah. So you have to, you know, everybody wants to be with the group, but you have to at some point think, okay, well, despite whatever everything that's going on around me, like, at what point do I focus on my own race? And I think when you figure that out on race day is when you have a really good race.
So it's what's always fascinating to me is the fact that you're 37, going to be 38 soon. But it sounds like you feel like you're, you know what, I'm learning, I'm getting better. Even as I'm aging, I'm learning more about myself, my body, the sport, the race. Do you feel that? Do you feel that, you know what, maybe in numbers I'm 37, but I feel like I'm as good or better than I've ever been?
Yeah, honestly, Bobby, I feel better than I've ever been, at least for Ironman distance racing, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I'm not running like, you know, as fast as I was in halves. You know, I'm not running 111s like I was a few years back.
But you don't need to for Ironman.
But when I was doing that, that was all fitness and muscle and determination, which doesn't necessarily hold up over a marathon.
over eight hours, right?
Yeah. So I've really had to work on becoming a more efficient athlete, and I particularly on the run, and I feel like that's starting to really click right now. Even at 37, if you take care of your body, it just means that you've had more experience, more training in the body, and, more time to figure things out. You know, nutrition is something I've been really working on this year as well. And I think that's a huge performance factor that gets maybe overlooked, particularly in Kona.
So how have you changed nutrition?
You know, really just getting a better hydration plan and paying attention to the body, monitoring weight loss during sessions and seeing exactly what my body needs. That big kind of race simulation workout I did yesterday, I think I had 8 or 9 bottles on the bike.
Wow.
Just trying to, see how does the gut react, how does the body feel? And we get caught up in trying to train on nothing all the time. And this year and it depletes the body, and you start becoming catabolic and eating your own muscle. And
yeah, that's not good.
It's not good,
Well, especially because you've got a life after this too, after the career is over, and you certainly don't want to do any damage to your body.
Yeah. And you want to keep on racing. You want to be a Crowe or
right.
Brown and racing at 45, which, I don't see why I can't do as
right.
well and still win races like those guys. You just have to be a little smarter and not get so caught up in like, oh, I did that ride with only, 2 bottles and 100 calories and things like that. It's like, no, take care of your body and make sure you're eating more. I did a muscle glycogen test earlier this year at CU Sports Performance Center. And, so on a scale like 1 to 100, you want your glycogen stores in your muscles to be like around 70 or 80, percent.
Right.
Some of my muscles are like 4 or 12%. And,
what?
And they're like, dude, you need to have a bigger lunch, eat more during the day.
Yeah.
You kind of forget when you're constantly training that you need to put calories in.
And it's funny because you don't have like you're driving your car and you're like, oh, look at the needles at E. I better fill it up. You don't have that.
Yeah.
You don't have something telling you that your gas tank is empty. That's what you sort of need.
Yeah, absolutely. Training on empty, it doesn't do you any benefit.
No. And that's sort of the mentality, right? Going way back. It's okay.
I'm
not going to drink. I'm not going to eat. I'm going to get faster. I'm going to stay lean. It's all about being lean.
Right.
Yeah. And that's counterproductive. You beat yourself up.
Yeah, and you kind of get in that mindset of, oh, well, that's hard conditions in Kona. I need to, train my body and not having what it needs. Like, well, train your body to be able to absorb what it needs, and then in Kona, try to give it what it needs. I mean, I know it's harder in the heat and the humidity, but I don't know. That's going to be my approach this year.
Love it. Hey, so, T.O., how long are you staying in Kansas?
Be here till the 20th, and then we head to 70.3 Augusta for our final tune-up, which is 3 weeks out of Kona.
Perfect.
And then a quick trip back to Boulder, get all the gear ready, and then head to the island.
Love it. Hey, T.O., best of luck in Kona this year. I look forward to chatting with you on the show. And what if you, when you watch the other YouTube shows, when you watch Lionel's show, what do you, besides the fact that Lionel has a domestique taking care of his every whim, what do you watch that and go, oh my God, what's that guy doing?
Yeah, no, I love it because he's just such a character, when he's training.
Yes.
So he's got so much energy and I don't know. It's really fun to watch. But Rennie actually texted Talbot when he was out there filming him and we were watching the show and she said, tell Lionel to stop screaming on the trainer. He's just wasting his energy.
Exactly.
If he can put it into a few more watts. Lionel got a good kick out of that.
That is funny. But you know what's interesting? When I watched Lionel last year, okay, he has a 10 minutes on Patrick off the bike, runs 251, and basically looks like he's dragging his leg behind him. I know he doesn't have the greatest running form there is, but obviously there's something going on with his leg. But he loses by 2 minutes or so. So if Patrick runs 242, Lionel wins the race. And then next thing you see is him getting skinnier and skinnier. And I'm like, dude, you did everything right. The guy happened to beat you on the day. You don't have to change much.
Yeah.
But people are always tinkering, and I guess there's a reason for it. But man, sometimes you go, okay, I've got the formula. I'm just going to do it again, and hopefully my leg won't hurt.
Right. Yeah. I mean, at some point you can't control. I mean, I think he had the third fastest time ever, right?
Yes.
Or fourth fastest.
Yeah,
time
yeah.
Ever.
I mean, if he doesn't get past, I think he broke the. Yeah, he would have been really close. Yep.
So I mean, at some point you can't control what other people do.
No.
And I remember actually Mark telling me after I was on the podium in 2015 that really it's the hardest position to be in coming back to Kona is being on the podium the year before because you're so close. So, you know, a lot of guys either say, oh, I'm going to train so much harder.
Yep.
That'll get me the win. Or like, oh, yeah, I got this. You know, like I was on the podium last year. I got this. I'm
right.
going to win this.
Exactly.
So it's a hard balance.
Love it. Hey, Tio, thank you so much for taking so much time. Give my best to Rinny and Izzy. And after the Ironman thing, we'll have to set up a time for you guys to watch the movie. You guys were great in the film.
Oh, yeah, thanks. We've watched a little bit on the iPhone, but we haven't got to see it on the big screen yet. So.
Yeah, you need it'd be cool.
We haven't been to a movie since Izzy was born, Bob, I'm not going to lie.
I'm sure you haven't. I'm sure you're just hoping to get. That's why you're wearing the headphones. You're wearing a halo, just like, you know what? I'm doing this to work on my neuroscience. You're like,
right.
I just need some sleep. Come on.
Yeah, I'm like, how ready? I'm neuropriming. No, I just
need a little break. Yeah, perfect. Timothy O'Donnell has been our guest again. We're brought to you by Tough Man Triathlon Series, by VeloFix, by Polar, Chase Your Destiny, by Premium Plus Sports, that's premiumplus-sports.com, USA-swimrun.com. If you haven't tried a swim run event, they're catching on. Grab a buddy and give one a try. By our Challenged Athletes Foundation, our 25th anniversary of San Diego Triathlon Challenge coming up Sunday, October 21st. Come join us. Check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives